Thank you, Natasha. A wise person told me years ago that if you ever have a chance to speak, if you brag about Jesus, you'll be sure to say something important. And we want to brag about Jesus tonight because he's the one that has brought us together. He's changed our lives. He's working on us so we become more like him. And we have that good news message we can share with the world that we can't find anywhere else. The good news, God loves us. He has a plan for us. We're his masterpieces, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he has prepared beforehand for us to do. So this is truly a party, and we want to brag about Jesus. And it's such an honor. If I start crying, please bear with me. And I know that I have to watch my time tonight. Pastor Peter told me I have 10 minutes, and there's a trap door up here that will open if I go over. Thank you, Natasha, very much. Wonderful, wonderful worship. You know, worship leaders and those who lead us in the ministry of music exercise us in two ways. If we sing, we exercise our lungs and we fill them with oxygen, and that's good for the body and good for the heart. And if we declare our theology through the words we sing, we strengthen our soul. So we're exercised both physically and spiritually when we sing praises to God. Well, this is a party, and we've gathered here to remember, to be thankful, and to celebrate. I've jotted down some things. I've worked them over. Someone once said, if you have 3 hours to prepare, or excuse me, an hour to speak, give me 3 hours to prepare. If you give me 3 minutes, give me 30 hours. And I've worked over my notes and so on, but it's all about Jesus anyway, so that's my heart, that you see him and be drawn to him, and then truly we're going to have a celebration that will propel us into the exciting future that Jesus has for those who love him. Everybody's following somebody. And lots of people, as you've noticed, are going in circles. They're going nowhere or round and round. When we follow Jesus, we know the way through the wilderness. That old song we used to sing, my Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is to follow. Strength for today, he's mine all the way, and all that I need for tomorrow. So we keep our eyes on him in the midst of the challenge. And to be back among you is deeply humbling and greatly challenging, and just a wonderful, wonderful gift. I want to read some scripture as we begin. When we know that God loves us, we're able to do some things that we couldn't do when we were trying to figure out on our own. And I'm driven back to Psalm 34. The first time this psalm really hit me between the eyes, I was sitting in an ophthalmologist office over here on Main Street, and I had just discovered that I had a detached retina and thought I was losing my sight. And I'm sitting out in the waiting room wondering what's ahead. It was 1998, and this psalm came to mind. Psalm 34, 1 through 8. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will always be in my mouth. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let's exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man, the woman, who takes refuge in him. So we've come to remember who God is, who we are. We're his people. Phyllis Nelson gave us that marvelous record of the first 100 years of this Trinity family. And we have that good news that never goes out of style. So we're called to remember, to be thankful, and to celebrate. And in the midst of the celebration, we need to remember and be thankful for those who have made this evening possible. We've all already given them a clap offering. We want to thank God for them. And I want to shout out for Brian Valentine, your community custodial engineer. He's done so much work. And some names have been reinforced on my heart. And as we gather tonight, it's well for us to remember them because they are part of the body of Trinity and they're scattered far and wide. Was reminded tonight about Jesse Kirkpatrick, who's in ministry, came out of the life and the heartbeat of this church. Remember Jesse and his family. And then we have Brian and Stephanie Woods in the Comoran Islands, John and Nancy DeValve in Niger, Chelsea and Evan Burgess with Ethnos 360, in Wisconsin, Jacob and Katie DeValve in Papua New Guinea, Gordon and Bear Grover in the Dominican Republic, Peter and Ruth Dutton in Thailand, and the new missionaries for this church family, Scott and Lena Yont, who are in Ukraine. So a shout out to each of you who's gathered tonight to celebrate what God has done and wants to do, because it's not over yet. There's great days ahead, and it's my prayer that the best days will be ahead as we look forward to the Lord's return. Now, when you have a party and you discover someone has a birthday party, I think it's most appropriate that you sing Happy Birthday, especially when the key player has put together a video for us. So would you join me in singing Happy Birthday to David Bauman? Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, dear David. May God bless you and many more. Well, thank you for inviting my precious wife, Charlene, and me here. And we were so honored to have have Pastor Peter and Kathy come out and stay with us in California. We want to extend a greeting. If any of you do want to come out, there's a place, and we'd be honored to have you come and stay with us. So many of you knew Karen. She changed her address to heaven over 9 years ago now, and I'm sure she's shouting down from heaven, as is Sharon Dayton and so many others, Johnny Adamson, could go on and on. But I want to introduce Charlene for a brief moment, because God brought into my life this most beautiful and precious girl. We met at a campground in California, similar to Pilgrim Pines that we have out here east. It's called Mission Springs. We had a retreat for retired pastors, missionaries, and spouses 65 and better. I like that better part. Charlene and her first husband, she'd been married 42 years. I'd been married 51. But we met. And we were both like deer in the headlights. I was, shortly after Karen's changed her address. We met at that retreat 1 year, and we were introduced by a friend that was mutual. She had met this missionary friend in Mexico City, who had been very, very dear to us years and years ago along the way. And we were introduced. And we had coffee, and a year went by, and we had coffee again, and we decided that God might be into something. And she would come up to visit me. We were 100 miles apart, and she'd come up to visit in Lincoln, California, where we live, about 100 miles from where she was in Brentwood. And I had three homes where she could stay. They were very dear friends that I'd had in my life, and they knew me well, good, bad, and ugly, and I thought they would scare her away from me, but what happened is that my friends became our friends, and they were able to help us determine that maybe God was in this, and then I would stay with two people, her youngest daughter and some family folks down in Brentwood where she lived. And our kids were very happy that Mom and Dad had somebody to take care of them. They didn't have to worry about us anymore. So we've been married 6 years, and we like to say we've been married 99 years, and we're just getting started. She worked with medical ambassadors for 20 years and traveled the world with her husband for the first 10, and he went to heaven, and she continued working with women in about a dozen different countries and women's cycle of life. So if ever I get bored, I just sit down, tell me a story. And I look at her and I say, you did this, you did that. Going into these countries, training women to take care of other women where women aren't thought very highly of. Just a marvelous story, and I'm so privileged to be able to share life with her. It was a wise theologian who was asked, after years of teaching and learning and growing and sharing, he was asked what was the most important thing that he ever discovered in his life. And he said, without pausing, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life." When Phyllis Nelson took time to bring together the memories of that first 100 years, "We Are His People," she captured some things that really challenge us to look ahead, even as we look back. In this book, that wonderful little book that's floating around and available, and I had an extra copy in California, I gave it to Pastor Peter. We discovered again who God is, that this is His church, who we are, what God calls us to do and to be thankful, to celebrate. And what's important to God, Phyllis said, is people. That's why Christ came. And our task as His people is to glorify God and spread the gospel to the lost. That has not changed. That's our mission. And our faithfulness to that mission is the real history of Trinity Covenant Church. Truly something to worth celebrate. It's a joy to see the history of His people unfold in the story of our church as the torch of the gospel was passed from generation to generation. And in these fitting words, 31 years or so later here, we're trying to figure out how to live with confidence in this chaotic, crazy world. I remember well when someone asked me along the way during the days it was our privilege to be your pastor, "What kind of church is Trinity Covenant Church?" And I remember saying something like, "We're a church that's filled with people trying to figure out what it means to really follow Jesus, first in the 20th century, now in the 21st, and live out the great commandment and the great commission." That's quite a challenge. There's a number of reasons why we need to celebrate tonight. First of all, God is God and He doesn't change. And He knows you and me by name. Shortly after Karen changed her address to heaven, I signed on and was a volunteer going into Folsom Prison once a week. We were teaching the men life skills and preparation for parole. I'll never forget the first Sunday I was there. First Wednesday. Went in every Wednesday for about 2 years. And here I am standing in front of about 40 men whom I knew nothing about, but they were there, and that meant they were there for something. What am I going to say? They looked, well, their skin hue was a lot darker than mine. What's an old white guy going to say? How are we going to communicate? So I asked the Holy Spirit, please give me words. And I remember saying something to them like this: good morning, men. It's my honor and privilege to be in a room filled with VIPs. You're all very important people. Your very existence demands a creator, and the God I worship made you in His image, and that makes you a very important person. There was one great big brother who came up to me every week. His wingspan was about 8 feet wide. I'm a VIP. Yes, Stephen, you're a VIP. I went on to say that I know 4 things about you, and we've never met before, and nobody's told me anything. I know that, first of all, you're a VIP. Your existence demands a creator. The second thing I know is you have problems. Is that true? Anybody here have problems? You know, first, and then they both hands go up. And I said, well, I have problems too. Let me make it personal. I have 2 kinds of problems. The first kind of problem I have is that I'm stubborn, selfish, and stupid. And I've tried to do it like Frank Sinatra used to sing, I'm going to do it my way. It hasn't worked very well. I'd like to ask Frank how it worked out for him. I'm going to live life my way. I want to be God. I want to be in charge. I want to be at the center of things. I've never found anybody that lets me get away with that, and I told them that even my wife wouldn't let me get away with it. But I also discovered that, and I told them about the journey of suffering that we endured and her great love for me and love for Jesus Christ. I was able to weave that in, but I said she struggled with being selfish and stubborn. She wasn't stupid because she married me, I said. Well, we've connected now. I have a stack of cards at home with prayer requests that these brothers wrote down for me, and I can still see their pictures. We were helping them prepare for parole, and at that time we had a construction company of 90 employees. Half of them were ex-residents of Folsom Prison. We had some other businesses as well, but we'd meet them when they got paroled, meet them outside the gate, help them find that halfway house, and begin to establish a new beginning. Well, that was the second thing. You're VIPs, you have problems, you've had choices. You've tried to take God's place. Other people have manipulated you and denied and lied to you and cheated you. You've done that to others, but God hasn't given up on you. And this is where the news gets really good. Christmas and Easter tell us the story of a God who came looking for us because He wants to have a relationship with us. We're infinitely valuable to this marvelous, wonderful, sovereign God. And I expanded a little bit on Christmas and Easter. And I said, we're not here to convert you, but we're here to show His love to you. And that leads to the fourth thing. You have a choice. You examine. You get to choose. And on this particular night, each of us has a choice. I hope at the end of the evening, you'll each be able to say to Pastor Kim and Kathy, I'm in as we go forward by faith. I'm here. You can count on me. Many things that we can celebrate tonight. One, that God is God. He had the first word and He'll have the last word. I wrote down a number of things that have come to mind. I would love to expand on them. God, the Creator, Sustainer, Father of all who trust in Him, will still be God, Lord of glory, Sovereign, Almighty, and Holy. Psalm 2. God the Son, Jesus Christ, Savior, Lord, Redeemer, will continue to be the same yesterday and today and forever. The Scriptures tell us that. He will continue to love you and me and others until He remains and comes back again, and His return remains imminent. God the Holy Spirit will continue to move, calling, convicting, filling, empowering, and sending. The Bible will continue to be God's authoritative word that will not change. His commands and promises are available to all who will trust and obey. Someone wisely said, it's the word of God who does the work of God through the people of God in the, the word of God does the work of God through the Spirit of God and the people of God. We praise God tonight and celebrate the fact that there's still room at the cross until Jesus Christ returns. And when we're following Him, there's always a next step of faith, because He's begun a good work in each of us and He wants to continue it until He returns. So tonight's a great opportunity to say, Lord, I want to take that next step of faith. I want to become more like You. I want to let Your light shine. I want to be salt in this society. Karen used to say, and Charlene says it now, she reminds me, happiness is a choice. Love is a choice. Trusting God is a choice. May we be wise in making those wise choices. Prayer will still be the most powerful thing on planet Earth. How much do we listen to God, and how much do we talk with Him? You'll continue to be God's masterpiece until He comes back again or until He calls you home. There'll still be a need and opportunity for Christ followers to be salt and light in this chaotic culture, to live out that great commandment and the great commission in the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, there's lots to celebrate. God never changes. Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's word never changes. God, the good news is still with us and available. The Ten Commandments never change. My mother used to have two rules in the house. She said the first rule is a mother is always right. The second rule is if you ever have any doubt, go back to one. When you look at the Ten Commandments, you shall have no other gods before me. God gave these marvelous commands not to cheat us or to limit us, but to keep us free. He gave them to Israel after they had been in bondage for 400 years. The bottom line here is if they could be obedient to number one, all the other ones would be easy to follow. And the word was, if you have trouble with any of the nine commandments that follow the main one, go back to number one. All the other nine commandments deal with false gods that pull us this way and that way, who lead to woke and to all these CRT and all this other stuff that's going on. Go back and letting God be God. The Great Commandment never changes. The Great Commission is not ended. We celebrate tonight because He has promised never to leave us or forsake us, and that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The evil one has been defeated, and He still calls, equips, and sends out all those who will follow Him in their own home, with their families, next door, at work, at school, around the world. And oh, what a wonderful joy to have that list of men and women here who represent this family. We truly can celebrate. This is a sending church. Young men and women have heard the good news and responded to God's leading. Oh, my. What are you looking forward to? How big is your God? How great is your faith? When I moved to California in retirement, That transition period was one of the most difficult in my life. I didn't know who I was anymore. I remember sitting down with a pastor who had started a church in 1994, the same year that we came here. That church now has 8 campuses. Probably 35,000 people worship. When I met him in 2005, I sat across from him. I wanted to take him out to lunch. He took me out to lunch. And he cried. He said his vision was too small and his faith in God was too limited. And that really brought tears to his eyes. He looked at that whole area, and in our greater community, 1.7 million people were projected to come in to that area around Sacramento in the next 40 years. And he had in his heart that he wanted to plant 15 churches. I sat there and began to weep. I thought God gave us a pretty good vision. And he did. But how big is God? I thought, here's a man who has a bigger God than I've ever imagined. God wants to do great things in you and through you as you've never perhaps seen before. Will you put your life in his hands and trust him and obey him? Remember, you are God's masterpiece, each of you. Ephesians 2:10, you are God's masterpiece created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he has prepared beforehand for you to do. With Pastor Peter and the staff team and Natasha and worship leading the way, it's my heart that you'll be able to say as we move out of tonight, you can count on me. Let's see what God can do. This is his church. Let's celebrate. One last thing. Uh-oh, the trap door is moving. I can see the old. I want to give you a blessing passed on to me by a young man that came out of the Jesus movement, came into that little Swedish church, mostly Swedish church. I was pastoring as a young man up in Minnesota. He came in with bib overalls and flip-flops and curly hair. He was an Italian, Mike Valentini. He said, I want to teach you a new blessing as you go out. He said, and you don't have to stand to do this, but I want you to join hands around the table as you can. He said, now this is what I want you to do as we get ready to go out. He said, I want you to raise your hands and say, Hep Hallelujah, let the love of Christ shine through you. So let's do that. Okay, here we go. Hep Hallelujah, let the love of Christ shine through you. Amen.